This podcast's only purpose is for informational use. It is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Investing in the market is risky, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Welcome back to yet another episode of the 2 Cents 20-Year-Old Podcast. I've been digging too deep. I've been digging too deep on how I really feel. I've been digging too deep. Back with another episode of the 2 Cents 20-Year-Old Podcast, the podcast where I talk about the things that you should be thinking about when it comes to your money. I hope everyone had a great Valentine's Day with their special someone, and if you didn't have a special someone, I hope you at least enjoyed your Sunday and appreciated the fact that you're not spending any money. Valentine's Day has always been strange to me because I, of course, am someone who looks for the value in a lot of my expenses to make sure it's really benefiting me. Now, I would say that spending money on someone you love is definitely a good thing and shouldn't be demonized in the personal finance space. And every year you always hear those quote woke people saying that Valentine's Day is just an arbitrary holiday where our consumer society squeezes any cash it can out of the consumers by guilting them into buying stuff for someone. I'm sure there's people in favor of this outlook, and I'm sure that there are people who think this outlook is very bleak and sad. My opinion on it is that, like I said earlier, there is certainly nothing wrong with spending money on the ones you love and making them feel special. But I would say, why make it all condensed into one day of massive and frivolous spending? Wouldn't the pressure of Valentine's Day be eased off of your back if you just spent every day caring and maybe every so often spending some money? It's a pretty neutral standpoint, which I think most of my money takes are. All in all, I think that being financially stable comes with the ability to treat your loved ones and show them how much they mean to you, whether that be buying them a gift or taking them out, whatever it may be. Something that happened recently with Dave Ramsey, the world-renowned personal finance guru and TV host. Dave recently went on Fox News Live TV, and when asked his opinions on stimulus checks, he said, quote, "I don't believe in stimulus. If $600 or $1,400 changes your life, you're pretty much screwed already. You've got other issues going on." Now, as I said, Dave Ramsey has been helping people for a long time and is known for selling his books and being popular with people who are starting their financial literacy journey. I, however, have never really taken a liking to him. I know that he's a favorite to many people within my personal finance space, so I won't rip on him too much. But I think that his style is a little too off the cuff and coarse. Like I said, he's an absolute legend, and he is one of the people that I look to for inspiration for my future and the success that I want to achieve. But with personal finance or money and fiscal policy in general, it's not just as simple as stamping a problem with a quote solution and saying that it applies to everyone in every situation. People have their own stories, people have their own life problems, mental health problems. It all plays a part in making money. With that being said, Dave Ramsey going on live TV to tell the world that he thinks that anyone who would benefit from a stimulus check was basically finished to begin with left a bad taste in my mouth. The people who rely on the stimulus checks are the same people that listen to his show and call in looking for his advice. To say that if a stimulus check benefits you so greatly that you are already finished is labeling anyone struggling right now with their finances or even just trying to come back from debt as a lost cause. His success comes from the hope that people can right the ship and build wealth when they never really thought that they could. That's what people look to him for, advice and hope. Later in the interview, he tried to retract his statement, but Twitter got a hold of the big quote, and it went from there. According to an article by Desert News, a recent poll, 78% of Americans, which includes two-thirds of Republicans, support another round of government aid to follow payments of $1,200 and $600 approved for some Americans last year. President Biden's stimulus package is still argued over by millions, so it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But we are not here to talk about Valentine's Day or Dave Ramsey. We are here to talk about something more specific and niche. The debate on stock value versus growth. The debate over these is stemmed from one thing, their similarity. Merrill Lynch defines the differences between investing in growth versus investing in value stocks as, quote, "Growth and value are two fundamental approaches or styles in stock and stock mutual fund investing. Growth investors seek companies that offer strong earnings growth
While value investors seek stocks that appear to be undervalued in the marketplace, because the two styles complement each other, they can help add diversity to your portfolio when used together. I got this quote from the super interesting article that Merrill Lynch wrote about growth versus value, and they broke it down in such a way that the differences became clear to me. They characterized growth stocks as companies that have been making better than average returns over only the past couple of years. Basically, companies that are expected to continually make high returns or profits, but they don't have a consistent or long history of doing so. A couple examples of this would be Amazon, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, companies that we expect to continue to grow, but have only been around for the past few decades. I personally feel like these stocks are becoming more benchmark, and with investor confidence being as high as it is in these companies, they may be able to continue on if their business fundamentals stay clean and profits and revenue stay up, obviously. As always, this is not an investment advice. The Merrill Lynch article then offered a list of characteristics in growth stocks, and the first one being higher priced than broader market. Basically, this means that investors are just as willing to invest in these stocks at the high price that they're at right now because they feel so confident that they will be able to sell them later at an even higher price. The next characteristic is high earnings growth records. This is especially valid today with COVID. Growth companies will continually show massive growth and success in times of economic hardship that other companies are feeling in the market. Look at Amazon, for example. At the beginning of 2020, Amazon stock was priced at $1,874 a share. Today, it is at $3,277 a share. The third characteristic is that the stocks tend to be more volatile in comparison to other stocks. Like I said, these are companies that have still yet to prove that they can be consistently profitable and grow over many, many decades. News heavily swings these prices, both good and bad, with investor interest and fear. Comparing these to value stocks, you can see a few differences. These stocks are picked up by fund managers and individual investors alike because these companies have fallen out of favor of most public investors. The business is still healthy and has a good foundation for years of success. A couple of examples of these value stocks would be Citicorp or ExxonMobil. Within the same article, value stocks are defined by them being priced lower than most other securities, lower price than other companies in their sector, and tend to be less risky or volatile than others on the market. As you can tell, the biggest difference between the two is their risk profile. Growth stocks tend to be newer, faster, more profitable, but also more risky. They're basically the squid or the caviar of the restaurant that you're at. You're not sure if you're going to like it, but people have been telling you that it's great. And then come the value stocks. These have been proven to be more dependable, not as profitable, but tend to be less risky. These would be the chicken tender and French fry basket equivalent of that restaurant. Something that you aren't afraid of ordering because who can mess up chicken tenders? So now I'm sure you're thinking, but doesn't everybody want to try caviar and squid at some point if they had the chance, meaning the riskier growth stocks? And I would have to say that I agree with you. However, a quote from an article by Avenir Capital says that, quote, "It follows then that investors have been less willing to supply capital to these proven companies at the expense of financing the expansion of high growth firms, increasing their market capitalizations and access to financing at the expense of their short duration brethren. This has manifested itself in the massive outperformance of growth stocks compared to value stocks, which are at extreme levels of valuation dispersion," which is basically a finance jargon for people who want to invest in exciting quick money stocks rather than play the long game, oftentimes at their expense of their own money. I think that this is a huge takeaway in that today with social media and envious consumption of people doing better than us in life, it's hard not to feel like you're behind when you invest in only long-term value stocks. Of course, I'm a little biased because I see myself as a completely long-term investor who will not cash out his account anytime soon and has put a lot of money into proven long-term value stocks. But when the game is making generational money forever, it's hard to pass up securities that don't have to be actively managed and have been proven to outpace active trading over decades of market growth. Well, I think I'm going to end the episode here. This is a little bit of a quick one. I hope you enjoyed the content of this one. I love making this episode for you guys. Basically, talking about any of this type of stuff is what I do on this podcast, as you know. I talk about it on my TikTok, my Twitter, and stuff like that. And this is, you know, one of my passions. I like talking about the differences between investing in something that's a little more volatile, investing in something that's a little bit more dependable. Because when it comes to personal finance and investing, I think that there's a couple of different outlooks. So with investing has taken on a new meaning nowadays, I feel like. I have a couple of friends who have started investing, but they have started investing because of Dogecoin and AMC and GameStop. So they weren't familiar with investing. They heard about the news about GameStop and Dogecoin and AMC. They started a Robinhood account, and then they started investing in those meme stocks. So, you know, when that is categorized as investing, it can be kind of convoluted in the sense that, like, long-term investing is actually investing. That type of stuff is trading, which I think everyone knows, and no one's going to argue that fact. That's not what investing is. Investing is, you know, you believe in a security, whether it be an index fund, mutual fund, a company, and you invest in that and you ride it out over the long term. You're investing your money in that. But when it comes to a 1 or 2 day, you know, swing trade, that I don't think is categorized as investing. It's more like trading, like I said. And there's nothing wrong with that. People do really, really well. But I think people have to be careful with this because there's a lot of tax liabilities that people... I was listening to this podcast today, actually. And there was this person who had been trading on Robinhood for a long time. And then they got their 1099, I think that's the tax form, for their trading activity. And it was 39 pages long because that's how much they'd been trading, buying, selling, whatever. So with this, you know, with that type of trading, there's so many underlying things that people have to put into perspective. And that's why I usually advocate for long-term low-cost investing, because the, you know, the taxes aren't as strenuous. You can get out of them if you wait long enough. It's just stuff like that. Like with that trading, I understand it's quick money. You want the money, completely understandable, but there's just so many things that people have to think about beforehand. So like I said, I am going to end that episode. Sorry for that little tangent I just went on. I hope you enjoyed this one, like I said. And for next week's episode, I'm hoping to have another guest. And I have a couple in mind. I'm trying to stack up the 98 Cent Club member list as much as I can, as you can tell. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can follow me on TikTok and Twitter at 2Cents20YearOld. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, I would so appreciate a rating and a review on this podcast. It helps the pod out so much, and it makes me happy to see people actually enjoying the stuff that I put out. I will see you next week. Thank you so much for listening.